Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the book of Yehoshua. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we are in the middle of Perek Tesvav, chapter 15. We're up to sentence 20, but we may actually wrap up the Perek today. We'll have to see. It runs all the way to Pasuk Samach Gimel, sentence 63. So you've got 43, 44 psukim to see. But it's the list of the cities that are given to Yehuda, not necessarily an exhaustive list. And I'm not going to just read out the list. You can look in a Yehoshua to see it. But there are a lot of interesting notes on particular cities that are mentioned, and I think I might pick out some of those. So some of these cities will actually be familiar from wars documented earlier with the 31 kings. Other cities here come up in stories in elsewhere in Tanakh. Some of these cities will actually not stay with Yehuda. They're going to be assigned to Shimon. I think we've already mentioned that Shimon gets some of the cities of Yehuda. Why is that? Why is Shimon getting some of the cities of Yehuda? So Ralbag says it's not that the cities are given to Yehuda because Hashem did a terrible job of assigning things and therefore there were too many cities for Yehuda, the land is too big, and therefore Shimon is joining in. Rather, these were always meant to be Shimon cities. Going back to Yaakov's brachos to his kids, when Yaakov says of Shimon and Levi, I'm going to divide them up, right? When he's upset about what happened in Shechem, perhaps also the sale of Yosef, depending on how one reads that passage. So he says, I'm going to divide them up and I'm going to scatter them. So he divides up Levi by giving them cities all around the country. And he puts Shimon into Yehuda's territory. Well, then why are these listed as Yehuda cities? Because they're in the boundaries of the portion that is assigned to Yehuda. So writes Ralbag. Also worth noting the overall Yehuda-Shimon relationship, meaning Shimon and Levi, we are taught, are the Ish El Achiv, the two brothers who want to kill Yosef originally. And Yehuda says, why should we kill him? Let's throw him in a pit. So Yehuda actually protects Shimon from killing Yosef. That's number one. Then Shimon is in jail in Egypt. He's being held until they bring down Binyamin. Yaakov has no interest in sending down Binyamin and bailing out Shimon, it seems. And then Yehuda is the one who arranges for Binyamin to come to Egypt, and he bails out Shimon. So Yehuda is now bailing out Shimon once again by taking him into his land. I think I seem to remember that Shimon at one point leaves Yehuda. I don't remember the source for this, but if you look in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, the end of Perek Dalet, the end of chapter 4 there, you see a conquest by Shimon. Maybe that's what I'm remembering, that Shimon actually leaves Yehuda eventually. In any case, the first region that we talk about here, sentences 20, well, 20 is introductory. Zos nachlas matei bnei Yehuda lemishpachosam. This is the portion of the tribes of Yehuda by family. But sentences 21 to 32 are the southern region. They are introduced as miktsei lematei bnei Yehuda, the edge of Yehuda's portion, el gavul Edom banegba, to the boundary of Edom in the Negev. So this is the southern part of Yehuda, who is himself southern. So what are some of the interesting places? Well, Kavtzeel is mentioned in sentence 21, and that's the birthplace of Benayahu ben Yehoiada, who worked for David, and then again for Shlomo. Sentence 22 is a very interesting one. V'kina v'dimona v'ad ada. Kina, Dimona, and Adada. So it's not only interesting because of the textile plant that is found in Dimona, although that's interesting in its own right, but it's interesting because of a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, Rav Huna Bar Nasan says to Rav Ashi, Mai dechsev kina v'dimona v'ad ada. What is the meaning of kina, Dimona, and Adada? And he answers, Masvasa de'eretz Yisrael kachashi. What are you giving me a hard time for? Those are cities in Israel. So Amar le'atu anala yedam. He says, this is Gittin Zayin Amud Aleph. He says, do you think I don't know that these are cities of Eretz Yisrael? However, Rav Gavia me Argiza Amar Bataima, Rav Gavia of Argiza actually gave an explanation of the names. What do you mean? Kina, even though it's spelled Kuf Yud Nun He, like a nest, he reads it as Kol Sheyesh Lo Kina al chavero, anybody who is upset, outraged at somebody else. Vidomem, dimona, domem, and yet he is silent. Shochein adei ad oselodin, the one who dwells eternally, Hashem, the play on ad ada, will perform justice for him. If you have somebody hurt you, somebody insulted you, somebody outraged you, and yet you don't act against him, Hashem will perform justice for you. So then the response in the Gemara from Rav Ashi is to say, in that case, Elameata, Siklagu Madmana Vesansin Ahachanami. We're going to see another sentence. It's going to be sentence 31 that lists Siklag Madmana and Sansana. So that has a meaning also. So Amar Lei, he replied, Ihaba Rav Gevia Mibeir Giza Hacha Hava Amar Bataima. He says, you know, if Rav Gevia were here, he would answer you. He would give an explanation for these names as well. And along comes Rav Acha Mibechoza'a. Rav Acha of Bechoza'a. Everybody's got a place name here. Rav Gevia is from Argiza. Rav Acha is from Choza. In any case, Rav Acha says to him, Komishi yesh lo tsa'akas legima al chavero. Tsa'akas legima. Someone who has a complaint of stolen food. Legima is like a swallow. So tziklag, tsa'akas legima. Against somebody else. And again, vidomeim, but he doesn't say anything. Madmana, domeim, he is silent. Shochein besne oselodin. The one who dwelled in the burning bush, Hashem, will perform justice for him. Hashem will take care of him. So what in the world is going on? Why are you picking on these names, you know, to give these drashos? The Maharsha says that it's because their names were unusual. These are just strange names, and therefore we need to give some kind of an explanation for it. And that's one approach. Second approach, the Tosas Harash notes that there's actually a discrepancy, we'll see it, between the numbers of cities, that the actual count of the cities listed in the text, and when it says, and here is a certain number of cities, it's not going to match. So he says these drashos are on the cities that are extra. These aren't actual cities, these are actually messages of some kind. Also worth seeing the Vilna Gaon in Aderes Eliyahu for more ideas on this. Okay, so that's sentence 22, and it gives us Kina Dimona Ad Ada, which may be cities and may be a message. Some of the other cities that jump out at us, there's a place named Chatzor. So Professor Kiel Ledat Mikra says Chatzor is probably a generic term for a development that begins as a stone-enclosed Chatzer. There are many places named Chatzor in Israel. It's a term for a kind of urban design. He says. Sentence 24, fascinating, the place called Zif. So there are actually two cities in Yehuda that are called Zif. There's one here in sentence 24, and then there's going to be another one in sentence 55 in a different region of Yehuda. The region there is the in Hare Yehuda, sort of more central area of Yehuda, as opposed to here where it's south. But the reason why Zif catches my eye is because Shmuel Aleph Perichav Vav, chapter 26 in Shmuel, the people of Zif betray David to Shaul. David is a fugitive running away from Shaul. They tell Shaul where David is, and Shaul goes on the attack. So that may be this Zif or the other one. Zif could, many cities could be named Zif. Zif refers to like honey. It's a sweet syrup of fruit. If you look in the Gemara in Sota, Memches Amud Beis, so it could just be a generic name used for many places. Okay. Other cities here that are worth noting, sentence 27 mentions Cheshmon, which could be the place of origin of the Chashmonaim, some suggest, before they moved to Modi'in. Be'er Sheva is mentioned in Pasuk Chavches as another city of Yehuda that's in the Negev. And then Tziklag in sentence 31. Tziklag is a very important city. In Shmuel Aleph Perachav Zayin, that's David HaMelech's base. When David runs away to the land of the Plishtim to escape Shaul, his base of operations is the city of Tziklag. And then when he's out of the city at one point, Amalek attacks and they kidnap all of the women and children. And David goes on the offensive to attack Amalek and get the families back. Finally, in this section, Pasuk Lamed Beis, sentence Yeah, sentence 32 says, Kol arim esrim vaseisha v'chatzrehen. It says, all the cities in this area, the south area of Yehuda, are 29. So the problem is, if you count up the place names, it looks like there are 36 to 38 of them. Depends a little bit on sentence 25 and how you count the names there. But it seems like there are 36 to 38, not 29. So two answers. One answer Abarbanel brings, Professor Kiel on the Dot Mikra suggests as well, we're only counting the walled cities, not listing, we're only counting the walled cities. They're more significant. That's one idea. Alternatively, Abarbanel also mentions, and Rashi and Radak take this view, that the missing cities are the ones that go to Shimon. So there are 29 cities that are Yehuda cities. However, the additional 7, 9, whatever that is, the extra ones, are actually going to go to Shimon. So that's a little bit about the cities of the Negev. We still need to see the rest of the cities. I think we're going to pause there for today. And then, God willing, tomorrow we'll see the rest of the cities of Yehuda.